For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Bietti.
Every one of you matter to God. God saved you for a purpose, and those that find that purpose have a blessed life. So every one of you sitting here today, He's put you in this church for a reason, and I'm glad to be your pastor. He saved you and put you on in this earth, in your community, in your neighborhood for a reason. Now, it's a big church here, and it's easy to get lost in the crowd. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, 5, 15 through 17. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less part of the body. If the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, it's not for this reason any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? You were put on this planet to be a vessel of God, and He has a blueprint for every one of your lives. Apostle Paul prayed, he said, that I might lay hold of that which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Now, we need you. Right now, we're becoming a community. You heard 5 announcements today. That's just the beginning. We have 20 or 30 of these we want to get into effect by the end of the year. For example, we need to do a sewing class. Some of you women know how to sew. Let's teach our single people how to sew. Let's teach all kinds of people how to weld. Man, I wished I knew how to weld. Basic computer class, car repair. Teach our men how to repair the cars. A lot of men would like to know how to golf. Let's teach them how to golf. They'd like to know how to ride a motorcycle, how to ride a horse. We're going to become a community-centered church, and I've said it before. Every one of you have something to offer. Every one of you do. Some of you, bless your hearts, you knew how to break into cars real well. We need you on our security team because people lock their keys in their cars. Some of you were computer hackers. You were geniuses. Get on our tech team. We need you to help us with tech. Some of you, when you were on drugs, man, you could suck blood out of a turnip. You got money out of everybody to support your drug habit. We need you as a fundraiser. Get out there and raise money for us. You're talented. You're gifted. See, you're back on drugs again. You're just a different kind of drug addict. You're drug to church, drug to the Bible study, drug to prayer, drug. You're still a drug addict. Haircutters, the repair people. I think God led me last year to say VBF needs to become a community center. And by the way, we do church too, but a Christian community center. We're going to make it better for every one of your lives. I want to put a food store out there where our single parents could get food next to nothing. We're going to help you. We have a vision. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We all matter to God. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a brand spanking new creature. Something the world has never seen before. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. You're a new creature. Why are you still trying to do life in the old way? Listen to me. You'll like this. If you do it the way everybody does it, you will end up having what everybody has. Let me say that again. If you do it the way everybody does it, you will end up having what everyone has. You're going to have to change your ways. Ephesians 2, 4 through 7. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with Him, and you've been seated with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing surpassing riches, listen to me, in the ages to come, he might show the world the surpassing riches of his grace and his kindness toward all of us at VBF. Amen. That's what his word says. Now look at Luke 15, 3 through 7. So he told them this parable saying, what man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one? Now leave this up here. He goes after the one which is lost until he finds it. That's not the way I do it. If I have 99 and lose one, forget the one. I've still got 99. But that wasn't their culture. These are Jewish people, okay? Verse 5. When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice in me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Now listen to me. Some of you know by experience, since you've been saved, you've got lost. How many of you got saved and you went back out in the world? But Jesus came looking for you. Mm-hmm. You know, that person that invited you back to church, that was Jesus. Even though he was camouflaged with a skirt on and lipstick, that was still Jesus. When you were at the mall and someone invited you back to church, that was Jesus. A relative called you and said, we've been missing you. Get back to church. Jesus is the one who caused them to want to call you. Now that we're called, we're to be Jesus to the other people that have went out. See, Jesus was all about connecting the disconnected. That's what he was about. And reconnecting the disconnected. That's what he was about. Now, we're to be the body of Jesus. We're going to find out in a moment. We are the body of Jesus. We're to go out and reconnect people that have lost their way. The porn convention was so good this year. Some people don't know what I'm talking about. I forget we have new listeners. There are 20,000 people out there watching. This was the best evangelistic year for our porn convention, our 11th year, probably the best we've ever had. It was just constant people coming up, wanting to change their lives, wanting to get our material. Listen to this. We gave out several hundred thumb drives that were anointed before we put them out. Hundreds and hundreds of thumb drives with sermons on them went out all over the United States in porn bags. And we anointed them, so they were in the bags going, listen to me, listen to me. You know, the Bible says that the Word of God will not go out and return void without creating and accomplishing what God wants it to accomplish. I mean, the porn convention, it is so cool. Like one person came up and they just looking at everything and I said, you know why you're here? And they said, why? I said, God has drawn you in here. He has something for you. Another guy came by and I said, let me tell you something. Your mama's praying for your salvation. He looked at me, I said, you wanna know how I know that? He says, probably because you're a preacher or something. I said, yep, I am. Some guy came by doing a live Facebook show and he says, man, he came by two or three times. And he says, man, this is crazy. You guys are still in the live Facebook show. Everybody wants to know what you're doing in here. He said, when I come by this booth, he said, it's freaky. Not in a bad way, in a good way. Now, we had just prayed hours before that God would create such an anointing on our booth. There'd be angels. He says, I'm serious. It's freaky when you walk by this thing. Somebody else came by and said, I don't know what it is, but you guys, it's a total different feeling when you get in this zone. Another porn person said, next year I told the porn convention that if I don't get across from you guys, I'm not even coming back because there's something about you guys and I want to be close to you. Isn't that cool? It's a light shining in the darkness. So see, Jesus, he won't let you go. He loves you too much to let you go. Any of you, that's why you're here today. He didn't let you go. The second PowerPoint that we're gonna learn in our text today is that no job is too small for the kingdom of God. Look at chapter 12, verse 22 through 24. On the contrary, it's much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are extremely necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which is lacked. Now, if you get in the, read this on, you go on further, and you read this and read it in the King James and stuff, what it says here is that we honor the unseemly parts of our body by covering them up. Maybe we don't have the most beautiful feet in the world. We put beautiful shoes on them. We cover up our private parts. We cover up our belly. We cover up our breasts. Let me tell you something I learned at the porn convention. All butts are supposed to be covered. They're not pretty. I thought I was going to have nightmares of being smothered by big butts. I've seen enough butts to last me a lifetime. I better stop. My wife right now is going, you should not even have said that. She's in the back room. I'm going to get a lecture when I go back. So I didn't say that. But what he says here, he says, we cover up those areas of our body. We cover them up and we honor them by covering them up and making them beautiful. He said, the same way, I take the most unseemly parts in the body of Christ and I adorn them with beauty. I cover them up and adorn them with beauty. See, to God, the greeters, the ushers, even just you guys even sitting in the pew, did you know even by you coming here and sitting in the pew today, you are a blessing from God? Because when I come out and see a full house like this, it just blesses me. It encourages me, encourages the musician just by being here. It is so easy to serve God. Just by coming here and sitting here today, you have brought honor to God and you've encouraged the rest of us. But the more unseemly parts, the greeters, the small group leaders, you guys, you're extremely important to this church. We can't do it without you. So we all matter to God. No job is too small. Thirdly, we learn from our passage today that we are the body of Jesus. Look at chapter 12, verse 12 and 13. It says, for even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body in Christ. Okay? For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body of Christ, whether Jews, Greeks, slaves, or free. We were all made to drink of one Spirit. Now, does this make sense? I want you to see a picture. We are the body of Christ, and we're connected to Christ. See this picture. Jesus, the head, is in heaven, and the body flows down to the earth. So we're connected. Say, we're connected. We're connected to the head. We're one body. Now, doesn't it make sense that if we are the spiritual body of Jesus on the earth, shouldn't we look like the physical Jesus? Shouldn't we look just like he looked when he was on earth if we're the body of Christ? Okay, number one, Jesus had a miraculous birth. If you're going to go to a church, find out how it was birthed. This church was birthed by a vision. God said, here's a building, go start a church. Our Vegas church was birthed by a miracle. Our Ventura church had a miraculous birthing. I'm telling you, gang, we're like Jesus. Number two, Jesus grew. His body, his church on the earth should be growing. Now, we're growing internet, over 20,000 people watching a week now live. We're building, so we are growing. See, the church is a living organism, and a living organism always grows. If it doesn't grow, it's diseased. If a little kid is the same size, he's 3 foot tall when he's 30, that's freaky. That's not right. He's got a disease, and so we should be growing. Number three. Religious people hated Jesus. And if we are going to be like him, we're going to be hated by the religious establishment. If we're not hated by the religious establishment, then we're doing something wrong. You got it? Who was Jesus' enemies? It was the Pharisees and the religious people. The prostitutes loved him. The murderers loved him. The thieves loved him. They all loved him. But it was the religious people that hated him. Next, Jesus was the friend of sinners. Look at you guys. Bless your hearts. You look like sinners. I wouldn't walk into this church and think it was an upper middle class church. I just wouldn't. Praise God. Jesus hung around sinners. He was attracted to sinners. Sinners were attracted to him. The rough of the rough. See, most religious people just hang around religious people. I love it. I was in Vegas a while back, and somebody asked me to go to a little party. They were having a restaurant, and I thought, kind of new to the church. I thought, I'll go with you, man. I got out there and sat down. I was surrounded by about 30 people, and I sat there, and I kept looking. I thought, I think all these people are gay. Think I'm the only straight one here. And one of the guys said, hey, I've seen you at our club before. I said, you ain't seen me at your club. No. I'm a pastor happily married. But I thought that was so cool that that was really a cool thing. I love those people. Debbie and I were at Hart Park a while back, no joke, and we were walking and we were praying, and two of the most roughest guys I've ever seen in Bakersfield, these guys look like axe murderers. They were walking the other way, and I told Debbie, don't look up, don't make eye contact. Just look down. And we walked, and they didn't even take a break. They just walked by and said, hi, Pastor Ron, I hope you're having a good day. I go, they know us. We're the friend of sinners. I was in the gym in Vegas the other day. Now, the gym in Vegas is not like the gyms in Bakersfield, okay? You got strippers, you got everything. I mean, it's crazy. And I was in working out, and this girl, and forgive me, I'm just gonna tell you the truth. I've already repented, but I started judging her because she was showing everything. And every machine I went to, she was there. And then she starts smiling at me. Now, at my age, when a girl smiles at me, I know they're not trying to pick me up. I know that. That's already settled, okay? But I started looking at her, and I thought, what a floozy. You don't dress that way in the gym. You don't. And she kept following me, kept smiling at me. I thought, what's up? And finally, she looks at me and says, Pastor Ron? I said, yeah. You saved me. And I thought, I didn't do a very good job, did I? Well, I need to resave you. But Jesus was the friend of sinners. Say to me, the friend of sinners. They loved him. And you know what? The rougher you look when you say, I'm your pastor, I feel so honored. You're amazing. You're amazing to hang around me. Number four, Jesus' life was centered around the Word of God. Why did God tell me to bring you all back to the Word? Listen to me, and I'm not condemning you at all. Do we really believe the Word of God? Do we believe more what the Word of God says about us than what we think about ourselves? Listen to me. I coined that term years ago. Unbelieving believers, we have to get back to the Word of God, quote it, believe in it, trust it, pray it. Look at Jesus, Luke 4, 1 through 10. And Jesus, he was full of the Holy Spirit. He returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit into the wilderness. And for 40 days, being tempted by the devil, he ate nothing during those days. And when they had ended, he became hungry. He's at the end of a 40-day fast. Now, remember, a 40-day fast, once it's over, you got to eat quick. And the devil said to him, if you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered and said to him, it is written. Say with me, it is written. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, I'll give you all this domain. I'll give it all to you in its glory. Now, he had the power to give it. The devil still would like to give you a lot of stuff if you would turn your back on God. Be careful. For it has been handed over to me by who? Adam. And I give it to whomever I... Oh, this is crazy. The devil says, I give it to whomever I want to give it to. Okay. And... where are we at, guys? Come on. Okay. Therefore, If you worship before me, it shall be yours. Jesus answered him, what does he say? It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And he led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, now the devil's going to quote the word. For it is written, he will command his angels, leave it here for a second, guys. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you. Now, the devil knew that this verse was true for all of us, not just for Jesus. He knew that God's word said for all of us believers that he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. Are you utilizing this great promise? Let's go on now, guys. He will command his angels turning you to guard you, and that's it. I'm sorry. As far as I was going. Some of you need to ask God to send some angels and help you. It's that easy. Believe that he will. Look at 1 John 1 and 9. It says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Psalms 103 and 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgression from us. Do you believe that? Yes. Then get your head up. You say, but Ron, you don't know the terrible sin I committed last night, and I committed it 9 times last week, and I can't seem to get rid of it. Jesus said, I'll forgive you 70 times 7 in one day. And I know you haven't sinned 490 times. I hope not. Confess your sin and get your head up. Amen. You've been saved by an awesome grace, and God's willing to forgive you no matter how many times you confess. Look at Isaiah 49, 25. Surely thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty man will be taken away, and the prey of the tyrant will be rescued. For I will contend with the one who contends with you. What does he say? I will contend with the one who contends with you, and I will save your sons. You've got to believe that God's contending for you today. If someone's bashing you, God's in control. Amen. We're his kids. Luke 11, 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for him? Philippians 4, it says, my God shall supply all of your needs. You need to quote that, pray that, believe in that. And if you're not getting it, then it's not a need. James 1 and 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men that ask. He gives generously and without reproach. Some of you are one step away from being blessed. Come to the altar and ask God for wisdom, then believe that you're getting it. And as you go out, whatever starts happening, you go, whoa, this could be God, man, because I asked for wisdom. It's that simple. Isaiah 57, 17. Isaiah 57, 17, okay. I was eating pancakes when I gave these verses today, so I don't know. The pancakes were really good, by the way. Matthew 8, 13. Have we got any more verses? Something went on the blink back there. Okay. And Jesus said to the centurion, go, and it shall be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed that very moment. Believe in the word of God. And when Jesus came into Peter's home, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick in the bed with a fever. I don't know why that verse is up there, but we are having technical problems today, so just bear with us. It's the internet. Everything's going crazy on us, but listen to me closely. You have to center your life around the word of God, because that's what Jesus did. And then when the devil whispers in your ear, you got to go back and say, it is written that God will supply all of my needs. It is written that I can do all things. Devil, I don't know what you're saying, but it is written that no weapon formed against me can prosper. It is written that my God shall intervene and cause all things to work together for good to those that love God and are called according. It is written that if I seek first God's kingdom, everything I need will be added to me. It is written, and that is a promise. We must go back and just focus our life around the Word of God. And the next PowerPoint that we're going to look at is we have individual gifts that were given to us when we were saved. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 10. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, let's leave this up for a second. I do not want you to be unaware. Why is it that so many people are unaware? If I went in church today and took a microphone around and said, hey, tell me about your spiritual gift. Are you seeking it? Do you know what it is? Most people would look at you like a deer in the headlights. I don't want you to be unaware. There's another four times, I think, in here that he says not to be unaware of something. He says, do not be unaware of the coming of the Son of Man. And I've got a prophecy update that's due. I should be giving it to you. The Middle East and what's happening over there. Don't be unaware that Jesus is about to come back. Don't be unaware of that. He also said another place, don't be unaware of the devil's schemes. Right now, as you sit here today, the devil has a plan to get you out of fellowship with God. He has a plan, and most of you know what the plan is because you're fighting against it. It's a plan. It's from the devil. You're going to have to fight it with spiritual weapons or you're not going to win. Fight it with spiritual, who am I speaking to? Fight it with spiritual weapons. The devil has a plan. You know what it is. Fight it and win over it. Well, here he says, don't be aware of spiritual gifts. Now look at verse 2. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. I'm going to leave this up for just a second because I want to say something about it. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, he's going to get into a whole chapter on the gift of tongues. What was happening here, obviously, someone was speaking in an unknown tongue, and they were cursing Jesus in that, and they were writing Paul a question, is that really from God? Now, I hope all of you know that speaking in tongues and unknown languages happened way before the Christian era. Many pagan religions spoke in tongues. Many pagan religions spoke in babbling languages. In fact, a few years ago, one of the nurses here called me late at night and said, Pastor, I need your help. A Hispanic family's brought one of their relatives in, their brother or son or whatever, and he's speaking in an unknown language, a language they've never heard. I said, let me listen. It sounded like Arabic. It sounded very, very pronounced. And every once in a while he'd say he'd curse Jesus and call Jesus all kinds of names, and he would go back into this language, curse Jesus back in the language. And I said, ask the family, do they know this language? They said, no, and he does not know any other language. And so obviously this is what it's talking about here. It's saying, don't run fearful. Don't be afraid. If anybody confesses Jesus as Lord and has that fruit in their life, they're not going to be misled into being used by the devil or whatever. It isn't going to happen. So that's why he gave that. Let's look at the next verse, verse number 4. Now there are varieties of gifts. Let's leave this for a second. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, when I first got saved, I went and heard Chuck Smith speak. He said, and the Lord said, and I thought, man, this is God. But then I went and heard Jerry Cook speak in Oregon. Jerry's very philosophical. I go, now this is God. And I heard T.D. Jakes. And I go, whoa, this is really God, man. And so there's varieties of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. And if you see a gift and you don't see the Spirit in it, then it's probably not from God. The gifts had to be propelled by the Spirit. Verse 5. And there are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. That's what they're called, manifestation of the Spirit. Say with me, manifestation of the Spirit. For the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Another, the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith through the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing. Now, it says gifts. Very interesting. We'll talk about this later on. Gifts, not gift plural, not gift singular, but it's plural. By the same one Spirit. To another, the effecting of miracles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, various kinds of tongues, and interpretations of tongues. Now, we have 15 minutes left. It's not uncommon to see people that are gifted in some certain areas. Like John Ranger up here, the man is so gifted. Would you say he was gifted? I say he was gifted. He does this just off the cuff. Musicians that are gifted. Athletes. I've had the privilege of hanging around some professional athletes. And man, when they move, it'll blow you away. They are gifted. Artists and con men, as we already talked about. Now, I used to lead worship here for 2 years. But it was not my gift. I felt sorry for the people. I could do it, but it wasn't my gift. I get up here today and play the saxophone. I played it for several years, but I don't think you'd really like it because I'm not gifted at it. It would sound like a sick duck, probably. I just throw a fastball about 80, 85 miles an hour, but I wasn't good enough or gifted enough to go anywhere with it. Now, when you get born again, every one of you has been given a spiritual gift, something you did not have before, that's propelled by the Spirit to make the body of Christ stronger. And you need to find it and use it and practice it. For example, Apostle Paul, when he got saved, he was given this gift to go out and start churches. And it was very easy for him to do that, very natural. Peter was a leader. Andrew just chewed on a blade of grass and invited people to church. That's what he did. Now, these things were natural to these guys. See, when I got saved, man, I just wanted to know everything about God. I was into his word. And when I learned something, I want to share it with people. Anybody remember Casa Moore Furniture? It used to be in East Bakersfield. When I first got saved, they rented, Mr. Moore rented little cassettes, teaching cassettes by Chuck Smith for a dime. I went down and got five or six, I would, like a candy store. I go, okay, I got to get this one. This one. I paid my money and I'd take these tapes. And you know what? I would listen to them. I'd read my word and then I'd have to tell everybody about it. Nothing's changed. I'm still doing it. I just listened to Chuck Smith a week ago. Even though he's passed on, he said, I'm still doing what I did naturally after I got saved. How do you find your spiritual gift? First, you pray and ask God, reveal my spiritual gift in me. Stir up my spiritual gift within me. Then number two, put yourself in a place where you can practice. I used to use this little test for people finding spiritual gifts. I say somebody's walking down the middle aisle today with a communion tray and they trip and fall about right here and communion goes everywhere. What is your first natural reaction? Somebody says, wait, okay, hold it up. Somebody go get the cones and get a mop and get me a broom. Gift of administrations. My first response would be go over and grab them and go, oh, it's okay. Don't be embarrassed. Gift of compassion and mercy. Somebody else says, I will buy a new tray. Don't worry about it, Pastor. Gift of giving. Somebody else says, you know what? Let me get a diagram out here. Now, brother, if you would have walked down the middle aisle, seeing that this aisle had too many people here, and you would have went this way, see, he's the gift of teaching. Somebody else, gift of prophecy, goes, thus saith the Lord, you shall carry again. Gift of helps. What can I do? What can I do? I'm here. What can I do? That's a gift of help. See, it'd be natural. Small groups. Have I ever said anything about small groups? You go into a small group. What comes natural to you? Well, I get there early and I just tell them, say, you know what? Anything I can do to help you fix up? Want me to babysit? I'll run to Taco Bell and get some Mexican food for us. What's that? The gift of helps. Somebody else is there and during the course of the night, they pray with somebody and encourage them and they go, oh, that felt so good. I want to do that all the time. The gift of encouragement, the gift of compassion, maybe even the gift of prayer. Somebody else gets there early and they get their Bible out going, now where was that verse at in my devotions? Man, I got to get that and share that tonight. You might have the gift of teaching or the gift of exhortation. Somebody else says, all I did is I just gave him my house to use. Gift of hospitality. Do you understand how easy it is to serve God? Just do what you're doing and hook it to God the Father. Say, I'm doing this because God, maybe the rest of your life, you're just to open up your house for the junior highers and the high schoolers. That's your gift of hospitality. It's so easy to serve God and please God. So pray and find out what you're giving. Maybe a gift of creativity. Maybe that's a spiritual gift. You can say, hey, let's get a way to help Pastor pay off this building and da, 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 da. So you got to find your gift. And it's something you'll be natural at and it'll be easy for you. Now, let me say one more thing about the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit give you the ability to help other people. Yes, a supernatural, say with me supernatural. A supernatural ability to help other people. Do you get it? The key, one of the major keys into being blessed and fruitful is helping other people. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. The Bible says, as you do unto others, it will be done back unto you supernaturally. Some of you could be healed today from what's ailing you if you would just start helping other people. I believe depression can be healed. I believe physical stuff can be healed. That's why we're going back to a community here. We're going to give you opportunities to help other people and watch the blessings. Oh, my goodness. Isaiah 58 says, if you'll stop playing church and go start helping other people, I will answer you when you pray. I will be close to you. I will love you. Unbelievable. Helping other people sometimes is the pathway to your own healing. A man was hiking in the Colorado Rockies one day, and he's went out for a hike. He went for a long hike, several miles. And all of a sudden, an unexpected blizzard came. And this guy goes, oh my goodness, I've got to get out of here. And he started walking, and he got lost. And he started getting colder and colder and colder. And I thought, I'm going to die. I've got to get out of here. And he kept walking, and he got colder and colder, and he got weaker and weaker. And he finally thought, I'm really going to die. He thought, I can't stop walking. If I sit down, I'm going to die. And so he kept pushing himself till finally he goes, I've got nothing left. I'm going to sit down and die. It's just the way it's going to happen. And he found a little makeshift hut, a shelter that somebody made out of leaves and stuff. It looked like somebody made something. He thought, I'm going to die. And he went over, and the last ounce of energy in him, he plopped down. As he plopped down, his hand felt something, and it was another body. He swept the snow away. He looked, and it was a person. He grabbed a pulse, and he felt the pulse beat. And all of a sudden, he jumped up, new adrenaline in his body, and he goes, whoa, I got to help this person. There's a pulse. And he grabbed him. He's, what do I do? And he walked about 100 yards and bumped into a cabin, knocked on the door. They had a fire going in there. They had soup and stew. And they were both saved. But by saving another, he what? Saved himself. I'm telling you. Now, listen to me closely. Let's look at a few of the gifts. We only have 8 minutes, so we can't do much. The gift of wisdom. What is the gift of wisdom? It's a supernatural endowment that comes onto someone, and you give advice that settles the dust, and it just takes all the confusion away. It's from God. It's a word from God. For example, in Acts 15, some of the Judaizers came down to where Paul and Barnabas were at among the Christians and said, you have to be circumcised. And there's all kind of contention and debate. No, you don't. Yes, you do. You've got to be circumcised. No. Finally, they said, look, Paul and Barnabas, go up to Jerusalem to the elders and prophets and present this question to them. So Paul and Barnabas go up there, and they said, do they have to be circumcised or not? And they all start arguing, debating. And finally, James stood up and said, I have a word. Let's just tell them to not do idolatrous things and not to fornicate. And that's all we're going to tell them. Leave the rest to God. They go, wow, that was God. That was so God. And see how it settled the dust and it brought peace? It was the Lord. Now, these gifts function so naturally sometimes you don't even know it's God. Somebody comes up to me and go, Pastor, we're all confused. This stuff's going on. They go, I think God told me we go to prayer right now. And I go, wow, that's it. That's God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, we do. A while back, I was being criticized by a couple pastors. They were just criticizing. And I got very frustrated, and I told Josh, take my Facebook off, take everything off. And Josh called me and says, Dad, I'm really surprised. You're going to let the devil defeat you this easily? And he said something to me, a spirit of wisdom. He said, Dad, here's what you're to do. When people are criticizing you, just do more good things than they're criticizing you, and it'll smother them out. The good things will just go right over their bad stuff. And that was a word of wisdom. I go, Josh, that is cool, man. That is from God. Next is the gift of knowledge. Gift of knowledge is some facts and data that you never knew before, and it comes spot on the moment. It just comes. Jesus is at the well. It says that a woman, a Samaritan woman, she came to draw water. It was a normal day doing normal things. She never knew that before that day was over, she would meet Jesus. Jesus came to draw water. And when she came, Jesus says, give me a drink. And I've taught you that's the way we witness. That's where we share our faith. Just start a conversation and God will take it where he wants it to go. He says, give me a drink. And she goes, how do you, a Jewish man, talk to a Samaritan woman? That usually doesn't happen. And Jesus said, you know what? If you knew the gift of God and you knew who it was is speaking to you right now, you would ask for living water and I'd give it to you. Then she goes on, they talk about water for a while. And then Jesus says, go call your husband. She says, I don't have a husband. Jesus said, you're right, you don't. You have had five husbands and the guy you're living with now, you're shacking up with. How do you know that? Gift of knowledge. You say, well, he was Jesus, but wait, remember the kenosis doctrine? He limited himself. So the Holy Spirit showed him that. This gift can go deep. John Wimber, before he died, said he was on a plane one day and he sat next to a guy and he goes, I have to ask you, what does the name Katie mean to you? He goes, oh my gosh, how'd you know that? Come back by the bathroom, I want to talk to you. And he said, that's a married woman I'm having an affair with. How'd you know that? He said, I don't know, it just came to me. And so this gift can be crazy. Gift of prophecy, Charlie Garcia, it's just what he did. I mean, all the time he'd come to me, Pastor, there's going to be an attack on the church this week. You better be ready. And sure enough, he'd come to me, Pastor, you need to get the guys away. God told me today, you need to get the guys away. And these knowledge, they can all kind of blend together. Healing. Now, it said gifts of healing, plural, not just one gift. See, I'm not so sure that some of these gifts can't be temporary. No, they're not all permanent. For example, I was in Africa and I had a healing line here to the back wall and every single person was healed. Unbelievable. They were falling on the ground. Unbelievable. Now, when I came home, I didn't have it anymore. Again, someone has said, what's the most important gift of the Spirit? It's whatever's needed at the moment. And I'm not so sure that you can't pray for a gift of healing when you're on a missionary trip or whatever. Say, God, I need a gift of healing. I need a supernatural gift. Same way with Mulahe. Prayer lines sometimes, I'll see people line up. And every once in a while, I'll come to a person, I'll go, you know what? I know. God said, come and get prayed for. And if you guys pray for me, I know I'm going to be healed. I know it. That's probably a gift of healing. That isn't normal. That's supernatural. When I had leukemia, I had a gift of healing for a while. I knew I was going to. I told everybody, the news, I'm not going to die. The gift of faith. That's when all of a sudden you have faith to do something bold. Every once in a while, this gift visits me. I told you again about that time. I've done this many times, probably 30 times, but that one time in specific, I was in the gym in East Bakersfield, and this guy was walking around with high white socks. Man, he had tattoos all over, and he was mad. He was throwing weights around. Man, looked like a gangster, and he was doing this. And I jumped off my seat, and I said, hey, excuse me. I don't know why, but God wants you and his family. He goes, what? I said, God wants you. He just told me. Okay. I never saw that guy again until a man cave out here about 2 years ago. He stood up and he goes, my name is Cecil Fuentes. I was in the gym one day and Pastor Ron kept staring at me. I thought he was homosexual. I didn't know why he kept looking at me. And then this dude comes over and tells me I need God. He says, you know what? I do. And I went and accepted God. And he wrote me again the other day. He's still serving God. But all of a sudden, that faith is just like, I've got to do this. This sanctuary, we're raising money. Me and Pastor Tom have a gift of faith. I am no more worried about this thing than the man on the moon. I've got a gift of faith. I know. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I know. Because where else would the newsboys come if we didn't have this? Because I'm out of time, here's the last one. We need one another. You know what? You don't know how much I need you. I hope you need me. I look out there, some of you, you don't know. I see you every week. I know if you're here or not. I watch you because I need you. I need the other pastors in the community. Sometimes the pastor, we get criticized and we get blasted. And this morning I got up and I wrote James Ranger, I'm praying for you, my friend. And he wrote back, said, Pastor Ron, thank you. I need it. I pray you preach good today. I text Wendell Vincent up here at Canyon Hills and Wendell gave me the nice message. Pastor Ron, we love you. We love what you're doing down there. Thank you for praying for us. We need one another. I need you, you need me. Now, I have a lot more to say, but the clock says I'm up. Would you like to? We started out with 10 Jesus visits last week. Did you know over 100 families here signed up for a Jesus visit? If you don't know what I'm talking about, it was in my sermon a few weeks ago. Jesus is going to, you got another 80 families or 90, Jesus is still going to come to your house. But do me one favor, please tell your husband. I'm going to tell you in a second when we end about it. You want to see a Jesus visit real quick?
Yeah.
Let's see it and then we'll end it. Somebody didn't tell their husband, and he greeted the door with a revolver. He said, I'm giving you a few seconds to get off my property. And he told us later, I was this far from shooting you. So please tell your family that Jesus might be coming. You don't want to shoot Jesus. That's really bad. So please tell everybody, okay? Because we have about 80 more calls to make. What is the purpose of this? We want everybody living with the expectation that Jesus is seeing what we're doing. He is in our houses, and we want them living with that expectation. Let's pray. Father God, I am so grateful to be called the pastor of these people. Lord, I'm so honored that you've kept me around, that you saved me from 3 cancers, and you've kept me going. Lord, I want to be your vessel. And you know, Lord, that I want to be the best vessel I can be for these people. If you're here today, the first step, if you haven't taken, is you got to get right with God. You got to ask for the Holy Spirit to come live in your body so you have the power to turn around and live for God. On the internet, I'm talking to you, everybody, Cal State, all the other campuses. If you're here today, the earshot of my voice, and you're even on the computer, If you've never, ever given your life to God, if you don't remember a time when you've asked the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of you and you're giving your body to Him, just raise your hand up and say, today's the day I want to do it, Pastor. I promise I won't embarrass you. All I want your hand raised. Let Him see your hand. God bless you, buddy. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else, just raise your hand high and bold. Say, I want to get right with God. Yes, God bless you. And at home, raise your hand. And everybody in the house and in the internet, pray with me this simple prayer and say, Lord God, I want to serve you. Please today send the Holy Spirit and come into my body, live inside of me, and give me the power I need to live for you. Thank you for saving me and making me a Christian today. In Jesus' name, amen. Be safe out there and God bless.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is